Well, good morning, Open Door. I just want to welcome you this morning and hope that you've had a blessed week and that the Lord is sustaining you through all of this COVID crisis and that he's in fact blessing you through it. I have a short message this morning, and a little bit's going to be a testimony of where I'm at, but also just a little bit on a picture of Jesus sustaining us as we walk and abide in him. And it's something that I've shared before, and we find it in Matthew chapter 14, verse 25 to 33, and it's about Peter walking on the water. So in verse 25 of Matthew 14, it says, "And in the fourth watch of the night, he," that's Jesus, "came to them walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him on the sea, they were terrified and said, 'It is a ghost,' and they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, 'Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid.' And Peter answered him, 'Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water.' And he said, 'Come.' So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, 'Lord, save me.' Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, 'O you of little faith, why did you doubt?' And when they got in the boat, the wind ceased, and those on the boat in the boat worshipped him, saying, 'Truly, you are the Son of God.'" So in order to make this picture complete, I just want to build out some images for you and explain a couple of things. First of all, in verse 25, we see that it says that Jesus is walking on the sea. And I think the sea represents the world and the people of the world. And why do I think that? Well, in examples that we see in the book of Revelation, Revelation 4, verse 6, it says, "And before the throne, there was, as it were, a sea of glass like crystal." That sea of glass, it had to be very still. There's no wind on it at all. And then in Revelation 7, 9, it talks about that same sort of area. And it says, "And behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb." They'd come up and they were standing on that glass sea. Also in Revelation 13:1, we see it from an alternate perspective. We also see the beast rising out of the sea with 10 horns and 7 heads and with 10 diadems on its horns and blasphemous names on its head. That's talking about the Antichrist and the false prophet. So looking at the sea as the world and the people of the world. Then I want to look at the next piece, which is in verse 30, the wind. And the Greek word for wind there is a name, animos. I knew I'd get that wrong, but anyway, we'll try. Animos. And it means wind or a violent agitation and stream of air. It could also mean a very strong tempestuous wind. It could also mean the four winds of the four corners of the earth. And the most interesting part about that word used for wind, animos, is that we find it in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 and 2, when it's talking about the prince of the power of the air, which is the devil. But the word air there is animos, same word. So those two things I just wanted to put in place. So I suggest to you that the wind represents the principalities and the powers of this world, the rulers of darkness, the spiritual wickedness in high places, as it talks about in Ephesians. Okay, so now that we've set the picture, now that we set that stage, we've got the disciples in the boat, we've got Jesus walking on the water, we have a tempestuous wind whipping up the sea into big waves. What can we learn from this particular passage of scripture, from Peter walking on the water? Well, first, going to Romans 10, verse 17, it says, "Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." And what do we see in this particular passage? In verse 28, Peter says, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." And Jesus, so he said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water. Peter heard the words of Jesus. He heard the word and acted on that faith word and jumped out of the boat and walked to Jesus. It was a word of faith. He heard the word and he spoke it and he acted on it. How could Peter walk on the water? How is that possible from a physics perspective? Well, we see in Colossians chapter 1, verse 16, it says, "For by him," by Jesus, that is, "all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together." All things hold together, including the water molecules between beneath Peter's feet. Jesus was holding Peter up. Says it right there in the word. That's how he did it. So what we see is Peter walking on the water because of the power of Jesus. And then we see him coming to Jesus. So I don't know about you, but when I'm walking, I generally, if I'm looking at something, and I'm looking right at the camera now, I walk towards it. But if I'm looking over here, I tend to veer this way. It really freaks Liz out when we were driving down the 401. I used to love going by the airport because I'd like watching the planes come down. But when you're driving and you're traveling at 100 kilometers an hour, you know, looking at the planes coming down and veering into the lane over there is not usually a good thing and usually freaked Liz out, as it did me when I realized what I was doing. So keeping your eyes straight on what you're walking towards. So it says Peter came to Jesus. He'd walked all the way from the boat to Jesus. He'd walked on the water without trouble, even though the wind was howling, even though the wind was blowing violently around him. The wind and the waves did not affect him because he was looking at Jesus, who he was walking to. And I see this as a picture of us overcoming the world when we focus on Jesus. We rise up above the world. We rise up above the circumstances of the wind and the waves. We walk above the situation because our hope and our trust is solely in Jesus. But as Peter's walking, we see there is a but. And in fact, it starts off in verse 30 with but. "But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, 'Lord, save me.'" So my question to you is, can you see the wind? No, you can't always see the wind. But you can see the effects of the wind. You can see the waves that are whipped up into a great big storm. And in Peter's case, likely the wind, the effect of the wind was these waves were just rolling and looking very angry towards him. And when Peter saw that with his eyes, his imagination took him to seeing himself drowning. He was afraid. So then moving on, we see in verse 31, after he's cried out, "Lord, save me," Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" You see, what I see here is the love that Jesus has for Peter is so great. He wasn't going to let him go. He wasn't going to let him drown. He said, "Here, I got you. Don't worry about it. Why did you doubt, bud? Why did you doubt? You weren't sinking. You were walking on the water while you were looking at me. Why did you look at the waves and the things that were around you? Why did you doubt?" But he didn't let him go. He didn't let him go down. His love immediately reached out and he grabbed hold of Peter and pulled him up. You know, there's the words of the song, and I think it's Casting Crowns, but I couldn't tell you exactly. It says, "If your eyes are on the storm, you'll wonder if I love you still. But if your eyes are on the cross, you'll know I always have and I always will." 1 Corinthians 13, verse 8 says, "Love never fails." And we know from other scriptures that God is love. So you could also read, "God never fails." God will never fail you. He will never let you go. He will never let you drown. So what I see in this particular passage of scripture, in this picture, is faith moves us. It moved Peter out of the boat when he heard the word. Hope sustains us. It kept Peter above as an overcomer as he kept his eyes on Jesus, because Jesus is our hope. And love keeps us. Jesus wasn't going to let go of Peter no matter what. He wasn't going to let him drown no matter what. His love kept him. So I want to talk a little bit about my testimony. And my testimony is one, just the recent piece since this COVID crisis, and you'll explain exactly what else has been going on in my life as we go. But the Lord's really blessed me in many ways, and I I could talk about my wife and my family. I could talk about my work. I could talk about a whole bunch of different things where the Lord has really blessed me. But as Harvey said last week, we're all tempted and tested differently. So what may be a test for me or a temptation for me may not be for Harvey or may not be for any of you. And similarly, vice versa. But our goal is always the same, and it's to be like Jesus no matter what. So I've gone from working in back last year and in January, going at 150 miles an hour, dealing with 200 emails a day, multiple meetings, dealing with many, many different weird, in some cases, situations, but very difficult situations as well. I've gone from that to nothing because I retired. I was looking forward to retiring, and Howard had always said there'd be plenty for me to do in the church. And I retired at the end of January. Liz and I went away on holiday, and then when I came back, the world shut down. So it wasn't like everything that I planned to do, I couldn't do. I was stuck at home like everybody else and doing the social distancing or physical distancing, depending on what you call it. Now, I knew that during that time, the Lord was calling me to pray and to spend time in his presence. But one of the things that I started to feel was that I wasn't doing enough, that I need to be doing more. And I started to feel this pressure build. I need to be doing something. I started to get frustrated. And as I got frustrated and as this time went on and on and on and on, I started to lose hope. Am I missing the boat? What's going on? I started even borderline getting into a depression as a result of it. So I had a battle going on inside of me. My imaginations and my thoughts started taking me down a road where I failed, or I'm failing, or I'm not doing the right thing. And from there, my thoughts just start to go wild. You start to think, oh, this person's not, they don't think very much of you, and this, not that we're into that, but you know how your imaginations go, and it just goes round and round and round, and then you start to spiral. So my mind definitely wasn't being stayed on the Lord through all this. And then I got a word from Liz, from my wife, and she often is able to speak some word of life into me, and she said, stop doing and just be. Well, I wasn't doing anything, and that's what my problem was, but she recognized the striving that was in my heart, in my soul, to do something, and she said, stop doing and just be. So that was pretty significant, and it's like one of these speed bumps that you hit, and I really started to think about that. Then I was watching a YouTube video with Ravi Zacharias, and he said, we're not human being, we're not human doings, we're human beings. And I thought, well, that's the same word again. Lord, you're really speaking to me. And then other people have had words, in doing less, you will do more. And the Lord was leading me to a place where I couldn't rely on my own abilities. I didn't even know I had abilities, but you know what? I obviously have, because I'm trying to rely on my own strength and my own abilities, and my doing is being what's acceptable to the Lord, right? And that was wrong. So how can I just be? And what does that mean anyway? So I read this scripture in Colossians 1 verse 27. It says, To them, God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of his glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And on that, my eyes just fixed. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we proclaim, it says in verse 28, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. It's about maturing in Christ. That's what this is all about. Christ in you, the hope of glory. For this I toil, says Paul, struggling with all his energy that he powerfully works within me. So Paul was toiling for this, as it talks about in Ephesians 4, the apostles, prophets, pastors, and teachers are working to bring us all to maturity, the fivefold ministry. But he's not doing it in his own strength. Whose energy is he doing it in? In the energy of Jesus Christ and the energy that Jesus Christ powerfully worked in Paul, powerfully worked in that leadership and powerfully worked in the people. So he doesn't even do it in his own strength. You see, Christ in you, the hope of glory, is the fullness of Jesus coming forth in you. And that is the hope of glory. That is the hope that we have, is that we will be fully overcomers, that we will develop his complete character within us. This is talking about our salvation. This is talking about walking out our salvation, not the justification part, but the sanctification part. You know, it's funny how in the armor of God, in Ephesians 6, it talks about the helmet of salvation. So I'm talking about salvation here. I'm also talking about protecting the mind, protecting the imaginations. And the helmet protects the head. It protects the eyes, what you see. It protects your imagination. And therefore, I believe it protects your hope. And in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 8, it says, "And for a helmet, the hope of salvation." For a helmet, the hope of salvation. So when we feel hopeless, the word hope is a lifeline. What is the lifeline? The hope of salvation. I was feeling hopeless. I was getting wrapped up in my own thoughts and situations and different things that were going on around me, and focusing on that and not focusing on Christ in me. Like Peter, I got my eyes off Jesus Christ and I got them onto the wind and the waves around me, thinking that I need to do more. I need to learn the dog paddle real quick or whatever it is. Paul was saying that the whole purpose of our walk is to see the character of Jesus Christ develop in us. Why? So we can overcome the world and reflect the splendor and the glory of God. Jesus wants us all to come to maturity in Christ, just like he came to maturity through his obedience. That's what it says in, I believe it's Hebrews. In fact, in Hebrews 1, verse 3, it said, "He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature." And he wants to do that in us. He wants to make us imprints of Jesus, so we are displaying his character, so we can fully display the splendor and the glory of God. But what is the character of Christ? Well, Galatians 5, verse 22 to 25 is where it's shown, and that is basically the fruit of the Spirit. And what does it say? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law, is what it says in Galatians 5. But you know what I hear you say, because I say the same thing to myself? I try so hard to develop those things in my life. I try so hard. But then look at verse 29, I already mentioned it. Paul says, "For this I toil, struggling with all his energy that he powerfully works." We choose Jesus and he does the work. We say, "Lord, I come to you. I call upon your name." He does the work. This is about hearing the word "come" and stepping out of our boat, stepping out of our security, stepping out of what we know, getting away from the wrong image, and walking to Jesus with our eyes fixed and our hope fixed on Jesus, fully confident in his love for us and his ability to transform us into maturity in him. Fully confident that he is able and willing to complete that he has started. We see that in Philippians 1, verse 6. Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. So it's not about doing, but it's about sitting, choosing to sit at the feet of Jesus, regardless of what's going on around you, looking into his eyes, loving him, submitting to him, trusting him, obeying him, hearing his word, being filled with faith, walking out that faith by keeping your eyes fixed on him. It's about being restored to our intended purpose, to reflect the glory and the splendor of God. How? by having Christ in me and having that hope of glory. Seeing that. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ." This is our hope. This is our hope, church. Jesus paid the price for us. We have been set free from the penalty of sin through the payment of Jesus Christ when he came to this earth. And I have a whole bunch of scriptures here that I was going to read. I don't think I'm going to read them, but I may post them for you. Talks about what Jesus did and what we believe. All the way from he loved us without even us even knowing him, coming to this earth, dying on the cross, going and paying the full price for us, going and collecting the keys of death and hell, and sitting at the right hand of the Father, interceding for us, and coming again. Those are the things we believe. But we've been set free from the penalty of sin through the payment of Jesus Christ. He came to this earth, lived a sinless life, and paid for our sin. And guess what? We're being set free from the power of sin through the preparation of the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit. John 16, verse 23 says, "When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come." He will speak what he hears. What he hears is the Word of God. And when we hear the Word of God, we listen. We light it up with the Logos, and we listen, and we act. That's faith being released in us. And he prepares us, and he walks with us, and he leads us, and he keeps us looking to Jesus, who is the overcomer, who has already overcome, and through whom we can overcome. But we keep our eyes on him, and he keeps pointing us to Jesus. He keeps pointing us to Jesus, so that as we look to Jesus, and as we see that salvation that is approaching for us, that we can see us in the finished state that God had always intended, so that we can reflect the splendor and the glory of God. We can reflect his splendor and glory. It's not our splendor and glory, it's his. And then lastly, we will be set free from the presence of sin when in the presence of our Heavenly Father, which is a restored relationship that Jesus purchased with the Father's blessing. That's why he came to this earth, was to restore that relationship so we could be in relationship with God the Father for eternity and not be away from his presence, which is the second death, which is hell, which is horrible, which we don't want to see for anybody in this world. We do not want to see that for even the worst person that you can think of. You do not want to see them in hell. You want to see them secure in the love of Jesus and accepting what he did on the cross, the purchase that he made. But it's their choice. So the choice is, God's not really sending people to hell. They're choosing to go there. He's made a way for everybody to be in full relationship with him and to be away from the presence of sin. And that's the last part of our salvation that we talk about, and that's glorification. So we have got justification, freedom from the penalty of sin, sanctification, freedom from the power of sin through the Holy Spirit, and glorification, freedom from the presence of sin. That is our hope, folks, and it is a certainty for each one of us who know Jesus and with our will choose him. It's about letting the Holy Spirit develop the character of Jesus in me, sitting at his feet, Christ in me. And in 1 John 3, it says, "I am a child of God." That's who I am because of who Jesus is. It doesn't say that last bit. That's who I am because of who Jesus is. My hope is in Jesus who overcame the world and through whom I can overcome the world. I can walk on water. Walking on water is about overcoming this world. And you do that by fixing your eyes on Jesus, not by worrying about, oh, I got to do this or I got to do that, the Mary and Martha syndrome. No, it's sitting at Jesus' feet. It's choosing to sit at his feet. Yes, there will be some stuff that he calls us to do. I'm not saying there isn't, but we take our command from him. He says, come. That's when Peter jumped out of the boat. So how do we go through this? How do I go through this? Well, first of all, choose to follow Jesus every day. That is an act of your will. Joshua 24, verse 15 says, and if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And that's what I'm saying to you right now. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Fix your eyes on Jesus, number two, because he is our hope. Isaiah 40, verse 31. But they that wait upon the Lord, and the word wait there means to look for, to hope, to expect. That's what the word wait means. Sometimes we go running ahead of him and try and do things in our own strength. And guess what? That's wood, hay, and stubble, even if it's good stuff. The gold, silver, precious stones that it talks about in 1 Corinthians 3 is waiting for him and allowing him to birth those things in us, that we do them in his strength and according to his word and with our eyes fixed on him and the love that he pours out through us. It says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. So fix your eyes on Jesus because he is our hope and wait for him. And use the weapons that Jesus gives us to keep our imagination in that place of hope, to make sure we do not have idols set up in our own mind, strongholds set up in our own mind, that we don't give the enemy any grounds to play on in our own minds. And 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4 to 5 says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. We do not want anything in our minds. What's it called here? Vain imaginations, I think it says in one translation. I think it's the King James. We don't want anything in there that exalts itself or has a wrong image of God, because that is an idol and it needs to be torn down. So we need to be diligent in terms of guarding our minds. Helmet of salvation on. Keep your eyes and your hope on Jesus Christ. Rejoice in that salvation. Remember that Christ in you, Christ in me, the hope of glory. And let that drive you. Amen. So I just want to pray for each one of us. Lord God, I thank you, Lord Jesus, for your word, Lord, that can speak so clearly, Lord Jesus, and I pray that by your Holy Spirit, Lord, that you will just bring forth, Lord, the nuggets that you want each one to have. And Father, I pray that there'll be an encouragement to your body this day. I pray, Lord Jesus, that each one will fix their eyes on you, that each person will choose you this day. And Lord Jesus, that you will be glorified, that you will receive the glory. Lord, that you will build your character in each one of us. Lord, that we will mature in you, that we will rise above the situations in this world, and we will walk according to the way you want us to walk. Lord, above the circumstance, above the situation, above the calling of the world. Lord, and we will not succumb, Lord, to what the winds and everything else will want us to look at. But Jesus, we will look to you and we will know that you are our God and that you, Lord, in you we have hope. And Lord Jesus, in you, you are our hope. And Lord Jesus, we will be established in you. And Lord, we will see you in us, Lord, that we will have that hope of glory. In Jesus' name, and that you will receive all the glory. We just praise you and glorify you in the name of Jesus. Amen.